Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. He is promising a blessing. I dealt with that this morning, at least tried to. I realized that even though I said some things, I didn't say everything I think the Lord wanted said. And I'm sure you're glad that I didn't say everything this morning, because you wouldn't want to heard that long. But anyway, he is promising a blessing. But there is a stipulation, there is a necessity, there's a requirement. If we want this blessing, would say the fisherman, we must do what he says. I said this morning that obedience always brings blessings of some type. Sometimes it's the special blessings like they got fish. Somebody benefited from that. Somebody ate fish that could not have eaten fish because the fish were there. God blessed and provided a special blessing. There's times we experience those type of special blessings, something you can point to, something that's obvious. You get a raise, you get well, somebody's friendly, those obvious special blessings. And I also mentioned some spiritual blessings, some things that you may not even connect, may even not even connect with the obedience. I found out, I found out a long time ago, that in witnessing, it is not always the one that you witness to that gets saved, but God will bless the effort in touching somebody else's life. That's true of a church especially. We've knocked on all the doors around here, and as far as I know, no one right close has come because of that, but others have come, and God has blessed, could I say it like this, indirectly. Our obedience has been blessed by someone coming that we didn't even go and see. That's those spiritual, indirect, sometimes almost in our way, a disconnected blessing, but a blessing because of obedience nonetheless. I said this morning, I still believe it. I haven't changed my mind. Every step of obedience somehow results in a blessing. Now, I thought this afternoon as I looked through and thinking about preaching something else, I thought about these other things of how we can be blessed. What God can, will do, that's a positive thing, a certain thing, through our acts of obedience. I thought about how these men, no doubt, pleased the Lord in their obedience. When the Lord said, do it, and they did it, I'm convinced it pleased Him. I believe He smiled. I believe the Lord, not only Jesus, but the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, was pleased. And I believe the disciples picked up on that. They knew they had pleased Him. How long has it been since you realized you pleased Him? One of the blessings of obedience is the fact that we know we pleased Him. What a blessing that is. Especially when you do something you really don't want to, but it's something He's told you to do. And when you do it, you know, number one, He helped you to do it, but number two, you pleased Him by doing it. One of the blessings of obedience is He gives us an understanding that He's pleased. It's almost like heaven smiling. I've said it before, He kind of pats you on the head and says, good boy, good girl. Have you ever had a child that did something that was good and you were pleased in what they did? They obeyed you for a change, maybe. And you were pleased and they knew you were pleased. That's one of the blessings of obeying. To be honest, if that's all there was, that should be enough. If there was no other blessing other than I have pleased my Lord, I have pleased the one who died for me, that ought to be enough. It's not the only thing, and to tell you the truth, I'm glad. But if it were the only thing, it ought to be enough. Another blessing I thought about when we obey the Lord is we don't get chastened. You ever had a whipping? I grew up when they whipped you at school. Last whipping I got at school was in the eighth grade. And even in the eighth grade, I didn't look forward to it. I needed a lot more, but I do know this. I don't like chastening. I do not like it when a parent has to deal with a child. I don't like it when my Heavenly Father has to deal with me. And the fact that we obey Him excludes chastening. That's a pretty good blessing too, isn't it? That he's not forced to deal with us. One thing for sure, we don't get away with it. Now, grandparents and grandchildren do sometimes. They do something that deserves punishment, and we'll kind of let it go. And parents, sometimes children, we'll let it go, we'll let it slide, but not our Heavenly Father. He always deals with a disobedient child. And if we obey, one of the blessings is, I don't get a whipping. I'm not chastened. Oh, that weight. Oh, that burden. That anguish of knowing you've displeased Him and done something wrong. And He's got that weight, that hand of dealing, that hand of chastening. You know He's displeased. When we obey Him, we don't have to go through that. We don't have to suffer the results of our sin. By the way, you do understand, listening to Him and obeying Him is right, and not listening and not obeying is not only wrong, it's sin. It's not just what we do that is wrong. It's not just the sin we commit that's wrong. It's the things we don't do. It's not just the committing sin, it's the omitting of the right thing. And when we obey, great. When we don't, there's a chastening hand coming. Well, I'm glad that there's one of the blessings. If I don't get a whipping, God's not angry. His justice doesn't come searching for me. I can lay down at night and know everything's all right. That's another better blessing, by the way. A clear conscience. Conscience is that little police that God has placed in all of us. The conscience is different than the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit and the conscience works together. And when you can lay down at night or get up in the morning or think about it during the day and realize, I am right with the Lord. I am right with Him. I have obeyed Him. I did what He said. I'm pleasing to Him. We're in right standing. There's nothing between me and my Lord. Boy, what a blessing that is. I'm talking about that's a blessing. I'm talking about the kind of blessings that He gives us. Where do you reckon that good feeling comes from? It's not just something generated in us. It's not just some pleasure that self initiated and created. It's Him. He puts a little blessing. Just kind of pats you on the head and says, that's a good boy, that's a good girl. Boy, what a blessing it is to have a clear conscience. And that's the Holy Spirit also speaking to you and me and saying, everything's all right. There's nothing between me and you. What a blessing that is. Another blessing is an awareness of self. I'll tell you one thing, that is a blessing. And I rejoice in it, but I don't like it a bit. Said to somebody this afternoon, for the last couple of weeks, the Lord has been showing me me. I wish He'd quit. No, I don't. I want Him to do a thorough job. When I see myself as I am, boy, it breaks my heart. If you've ever seen yourself as you are, your heart will be broken. There's nobody here that can stand up in pride and say, I'll tell you one thing, I've lived right and I've done right and I am what I need to be. Nobody here can. if you know yourself. And I thought about Peter in the midst of the whole situation. He falls on his face before the Lord and says, "Oh, depart from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." Now, that's a very negative sounding thing, but it's a very delivering thing. He saw himself as he was. And until we see ourselves as we are, we can't get any real help. Until we admit what we are, until we see who we are and what we are, we'll never get any help. So even though it burdens us and hurts us and maybe even depresses us, it's a blessing from God. And all that happened because they obeyed. You would think he would say to Peter, "Now you did good, boy. Don't you worry about it. Get off your knees, boy. Everything's all right." No, but he didn't do that at all. For he put on Peter a blessing of seeing himself as he was. Oh my. And I believe in that. There was a renewed hatred for sin. A renewed hatred for self. Before we can ever do anything for God, we must see our insufficiency. We must see our lack. We must see our need. We must see our frailty. We must see ourselves. So the Lord, if you will, is doing Peter a favor by opening his eyes to himself. You do remember Peter, right? Big mouth Peter. Say the wrong thing, Peter. Move when you're supposed to stand still. Stand still when you're supposed to move. Speak when you should be quiet. Be quiet when you should speak. That same Peter, God is blessing him by showing him his rotten self. And in the process of obedience, God opens our eyes. Would you not rather have it that way? I do not want to go on in blindness. I do not want to think I'm okay when I'm not. I do not want to think everything's all right if it isn't. I want Him to show me myself, even though I may find myself at night weeping, apologizing, confessing, thanking Him for His forgiveness and His goodness and His mercy on me. I'm talking about the blessings that come through obedience. Remember, He always blesses obedience. Sometimes by showing you yourself and driving you to your knees. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Oh, what a blessing that is. I believe one of the blessings we can receive by obeying Him is a renewed worship. When Peter saw himself as he was, if you read what it says in verse 8, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That word "Lord" means supreme. He not only saw himself in a new light, he saw the Lord in a new light. God opened His eyes to the Lord. He not only opened His eyes to Himself and it drove Him down. He opened His eyes to the Lord. He saw the Lord in a new light. Boy, wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love for God to give you the spirit of worship? I don't know if I like saying it that way, but I hope you understand. Worship is when the spirit of the inside and our spirit and our will, it's surrendered to Him, and we worship Him. Boy, we need that. All of us need that. And through obedience, that blessing comes. It's like He just swings the gates of heaven open and says, "Come on in. Spend some time with me. Enjoy myself like you never have before." A real worship, a newfound worship, a renewed love for the Lord, an appreciation for the cross, a new love for the Bible. It's like He opens our eyes and we see things as fresh and new. And it all came about by obedience. None of these things are promised unless we obey. But if we obey, we have a guarantee. And I long for these things. I need these things. I'm convinced when we obey, one of the blessings is we'll learn new truth. See things about the Bible, about the truth of the Lord, about the truth of His work, a revealing of His will in our lives. He will reveal to us things we have not yet seen. He said one time, "You disciples, some things I'd love to tell you, but you cannot bear them yet." He said, "You haven't come to the point where I can tell you what I want to tell you." And He, in essence, is saying, "I can't hardly wait to tell you, but you can't receive it yet." Through obedience, we grow to where we can get it. You ever understood and you ever wondered how somebody can read the Bible and get things, you just don't see it? Maybe they've walked with the Lord more than you have. Maybe they've obeyed more than you have. But I want to tell you one thing. When through obedience, new truth is revealed, I love to go, "Wow, I hadn't seen that before." I believe there's a blessing of just a God-produced joy. This is what was on my heart this morning that it felt like it didn't get off. And I went to the house and kept thinking about that. So this is the result of that. A God-produced joy. Check it out. Find out if this isn't so. The time when joy is spoken about in the Bible more than any other time is when God's people are suffering, hurting, trials and troubles. I tried to mention that this morning, but I just felt like I didn't get it out. Paul, remember? Shipwrecked, whipped, in prison, left for dead. And he says, "I count it all pleasure. Those things that everybody else would have shunned, well, they mean so much to me. They are a blessing." How in the world could he say that? How in the world can a man who suffered so much, and yet in spite of his suffering, pin down the Word of God like he did? How could Jesus say, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you"? Blessed. He continued by saying, "Rejoice." How? How? There's a blessing for somebody who will walk with the Lord and obey Him during trials. I believe that's a blessing very few of us have experienced. A blessing so real that Paul said, "It's a pleasure to suffer because of the blessing of obeying Him and what it brings to me." And Jesus said, even though men will revile you and persecute you and mistreat you, rejoice. So there's a joy there. There's a blessing there that most of us know nothing about. I wonder if it's because we lack obedience when troubles come. I wonder if we try and run away when trouble comes. It's a God-produced joy. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. The greatest trials bring the greatest blessings. And I'm afraid we miss that. The courage when you yourself are fearful. It's God's blessing. A burden when you yourself don't really care. That's a God-produced blessing. Something to say when you don't know what to say. That's a God-produced blessing. He gives us that. A God-produced joy, a God-produced blessing, a compassion for others. I don't know if this is true of you. I kind of think maybe it is. You ever got to where you just, to be honest, just don't care? Just really just don't care. If you were honest, now you may not say it right out loud because you know what people would think. And you don't want to even say it out loud because you don't want to think that about yourselves. But we really don't care like we should. We really don't care like we should. But part of obedience, boy, I've seen this. I read this in the Bible. In the process of obeying, He gives the burden. He gives the compassion. When you go out there where they are, for an example, and you witness to those people, you see where they're at, and you see the heart and the hurt and the harm of sin, and you see their blindness. In the process of obedience, he burdens you. He breaks your heart. That does not come sitting at the house. That doesn't even come praying for them. Always. But when we obey, a compassion for others. When we realize somebody needs our care, somebody needs to be loved, sometimes unlovable people, a burden for lost people. As we obey, here's the process. As we obey, he blesses. In the process of obeying, in the process of them launching, in the process of them letting down, that's when the blessings came, in the process of it, and the process of our obedience. He gives us a compassion and a burden for those who are in need or those who are lost. You ever been scared to witness, but you did anyway? Well, I believe first the courage to witness came from him. But in the process, when he burdens your heart, so much easier to witness. Boy, when you're broken for them, when you see them as they are, it's so much easier to witness. It's like it just comes out. It's just like there's a connection, and that's a part of him blessing. That does not come from self. That does not come from me being a human being. It comes from the Spirit of God putting in that blessing of a burden and a compassion in me and you. I believe there's a blessing of a fresh desire for the Lord. I thought about this. They had labored all night. They were weary. And now they've gone out again. And they've dropped the nets and pulled in a multitude of fish. You talk about some tired puppies. You talk about some tired, weary people. But you know what I thought? I think they said in their mind, if not through their lips, boy, let's do that again. That was so good, I want to do it again. It's like they got a renewed strength physically, emotionally, spiritually, because they saw the blessing, they experienced the blessing of obedience. They were blessed. And maybe you feel weary. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you feel disconnected. Be honest, you just don't have the burden any longer. Some of the Lord has become a drudgery, a task instead of a pleasure. Church is not a thrill. Prayer is a burden instead of a blessing. Reading the Word of God has become a weight instead of a thrill. I want to tell you something that will correct that. Obey him. Listen to what he says and obey him. There'll be a renewed excitement for church and the Bible and his will. You'll look forward to what he's going to do. That's a blessing he puts in your heart and in your life. I suppose in this day, if there's anything we need, I said we, that means me and you, is a rekindled desire for the Lord. A willingness and a desire for his will. Well, if we have that burden came from him. If we have the desire to see him stir again in our lives and our families and our churches, if that desire is there at all, that desire came from him. But if we want to see that happen, we must learn to obey. And in the process of obedience, those things will come to pass. He will restir that burden. The burden, it will not be a drudgery, but it'll be a thrill. Teaching the class won't be a heavy weight. You'll be excited that it's your turn. Having to preach will not be a drudgery and a dread. It'll be a thrill. Why? Because he's rekindled that desire. And he does that in the process of obedience. Playing the instruments and singing the songs will not be something you wish you didn't even have to do anymore. It'll be, oh, I get to minister for the Lord and to God's people. And all that comes about through the process of obedience. You know what that means? Listening to Him and doing what He says. Peter said, we've toiled all night. Nevertheless, at thy word we will do what you told us to do. Our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh refuses to die. You ever seen somebody deathly sick and anguish, hurting, and they're gasping for another breath, trying to live another moment? There's something about man normally that holds on to life as long as it will, as long as it can. Normally speaking, a person doesn't want to die. That's how our flesh is. It doesn't want to die. It'll hang on as long as we let it. But we need to, as the Bible talks about, crucify the old flesh. It is crucified, by the way. We need to reckon it crucified. What does that mean? Obeying the Lord. Well, I feel like I'm still got a lot of loose ends. But I'll say it like this. Listening and obeying. Every single time there's a blessing involved. You may not know it. You may not even realize how He blessed you, but there's a blessing. He may give you strength when you're weak. He may help somebody you're burdened about. He may just give you joy. But every single time, I promise you, obedience always brings a blessing. Let's stand together.